Hi, my name's Chris and I live in Australia and we are currently in a fuel crisis. Well, I'd say the fuel crisis is only just beginning. Just over a week ago, we had a government telling us that there's no problem. They were gaslighting us. There's no issue. There's plenty of fuel. Fuel's still coming in. They were telling us this openly. And then suddenly they've changed their tune to suddenly, oh, hang on a second. There might be a bit of a problem now. In Australia, we currently have a government that brags about taking meetings and doing press releases instead of actually doing any action. So let's have a look at what our Prime Minister had to say.
The longer this war goes on, the greater the impact will be. We continue to act to prepare and shield Australians from the worst of it. Working with industry, working with different levels of government to make a difference for small businesses, for farmers, for the Australian public dealing with these cost of living pressures which are very real as a result of the inflationary impacts here and around the world. On Monday, I will again convene the National Cabinet.
So here's where we are right now. Approximately 8% of petrol stations around the country are reporting at least one type of fuel not being available, most of it being diesel. Additionally, our 40 tankers coming across, oil tankers coming across to Australia, six of them have cancelled, as in they've been redirected, diverted away from Australia. Now, I showed this in a previous video. We are here. We are still in the phase where the market is trying to handle everything. The government is doing nothing. All they're doing is they're calling up the oil companies and saying, hey, have you got any updates? Hey, any good news? So they can do a press release and address the nation doing good news, but actually doing nothing themselves as the government. They're trying to leech off the private sector's work. We're trying to figure this out. They're trying to solve this, but the government is doing nothing, zero to support them. Honestly, are you surprised? We have all these bureaucrats, all these politicians. Now, these politicians, 70% of them haven't had a job outside of politics. All they know is doing meetings. All they know is doing nothing. All they know is claiming credit for other people's work or blaming people when they do absolutely nothing themselves. The other week, the government was making misleading statements. They were saying, oh, oil tankers are still coming. And it's misleading because, yeah, it's true, the tankers were still coming, but we were seeing that if you can imagine the oil tankers as an ant line, and when the war first kicked off and the Strait of Hormuz first shut down, well, the last of them tankers that got through have only just finished going across to the refineries in Singapore, Korea, Japan, and then coming across to Australia. So we're seeing the end of the ant trail or the oil tanker trail now. And even on that trail of tankers, six of them cancelled. Now, the countries with the mega refineries and the countries closer to the supply line than we are right now, they're starting to see the tankers slow down. They're starting to see the issues occurring probably a week or so before we do. And all these countries, they're all taking significant actions. The Philippines has declared a 12-month national emergency. Their Department of Energy is now directing their use of fuel as it comes in. Sri Lanka has limited cars to 25 litres of fuel per week and motorcycles to 8 litres per week. They've cut back to 4 working days per week and you can only fill up on days based on odd and even rego plates. South Korea, with one of the mega refineries we rely on for our fuel, has introduced 12 national energy saving action guidelines for their people to try follow. This includes things like shorter showers, only charging their mobile phones in the daytime, weekend use for home appliances only, cutting one day of driving your personal car per week, and staggering out work hours across the country so the public transport system doesn't overload. South Korea is also reactivating 5 of its nuclear power plants by May to reduce energy shortfalls. Thailand has 6 refineries, and on the first week, they banned all exports on petrol, diesel, and jet fuel while directing their public sector employees to work from home. Vietnam has cut all domestic flights. India, which is part of the Commonwealth, just like we are, has increased its import of oil from Russia, while Australia still maintains a total ban. Japan has 250 days of oil reserves, and it's announced a staggering 45 days of release. They've capped prices at around 170 yen, which is about $1.60 per litre over here in Australia. Their government is applying subsidies for their people to keep the price down, while in Australia, it's applying excise taxes and GST, which is driving prices even further up. In addition, Japan's older coal plants were only allowed to run at 50% capacity, and this has been removed to allow the country to increase non-oil dependent energy flowing through their grids. So what's the Australian government done? Well, They've blamed the people, they've blamed the population, said that we're all panic buying and there's plenty of fuel to go around. It's our fault, apparently. All they've done is meetings and press releases, and they've set up a scapegoat department to blame someone when this is all done and dusted. And then after this weekend, guess what? They'll just do another meeting again. The government said that it's not their fault, even though they ignored the last 50 years of recommendations to increase our reserves up to 90 days. They've dropped standards on one of our two remaining refineries, the one down in Geelong, allowing them to process sulfur-heavy crude, which, when processed through, ends up in our engines, ends up in our farm equipment. It wears the engines out faster, wears the equipment out faster. And what about Albo? He's called up Singapore's leader, and he said, can we get an agreement in place that you'll keep the supply lines open with Australia? And Singapore said, yeah, sure, we're not shutting it down, but, you know, if there's not enough oil to export out to Australia, we're going to put our people first. And then he does his call across to Japan, and he goes, hey guys, can we keep exporting all of our oil and gas across to you guys to refine it so we can buy it back at a premium? And Japan's gone, sure, Albo. You're twisting our arm a bit here. I'm sure that we can buy your oil and gas cheap and then sell it back to you for a lot more money. I'm sure we can work something out there. Now, the thing is, I don't want another COVID-style lockdown, but that's what we're going to get if we don't start directing the fuel to where it needs to go in the country. We need to start putting plans in place yesterday to reduce our use of fuel right now, and we need to start directing the fuel across to where it needs to be, which is our farmers and our logistics. We need to keep these industries up and running, even to the extent your garbage trucks, they're screaming for diesel right now. Okay, the garbage trucks, they don't have fuel to run. Well, your garbage isn't going to get picked up, is it? So even if the war ended tomorrow, there will still be constrained supply. The Journal of Petroleum Technology estimates $25 billion in damage to oil infrastructure in the Middle East. They've noted that some of the parts needed for repairs are backlogged 2 to 4 years, with infrastructure already destroyed or damaged, and with even more getting damaged or destroyed every single week. It pushes out the timeframe for capacity to get back to what it used to be. Industry analysts who are seeing what's happening now are saying it's twice as bad as the 1970s and the 2012 oil shock combined. So in Australia, we've barely started to see the impact yet, but as it starts to kick in, things are going to get a whole lot worse fast. This wait and see approach that the Australian government's doing right now, it's going to guarantee we end up in another COVID style lockdown. The countries all around us, they're putting in reasonable restrictions to reduce consumption. It's not to stop consumption, but just to reduce consumption. And that's what we're not doing right now. The reductions or rationing that we're seeing right now is occurring at market level. So this is the private companies, the oil companies, putting these rations in place. And if you have concerns about price gouging of oil when there's a supply shock and you leave it all in the hands of private oil companies, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think there will be price gouging? To put Australia first, Australia's priority needs to keep our farms running, and it needs to keep our logistics running. Now, this is the key point to look for. When the government says this, this means they're actually about to start taking action. It's when the Governor General declares an energy emergency, because that allows the 1984 Liquid Fuel Emergency Act to kick off. It gives powers across to the Energy Minister to start to roll out things in Australia, to put the restrictions, to put the rationings in place, to do what it needs to do, to direct the fuel from where it is to where it needs to go. Okay, until the Governor General declares a national energy emergency, the government's not going to do anything. So when you hear the government, when you hear Albo go up there and talk about it, that means the government's kicking in action. But until that happens, it's nothing but press releases and meetings. Because if we don't start to put reasonable restrictions in place and we don't start to direct the fuel to where it needs to go, well, it's going to be a knee-jerk reaction and they're going to drop us into a COVID-style lockdown. But declaring an energy emergency would require the government to do two things. The first, admitting that it was wrong and there's actually a problem. And the second, would for them to actually do something. Now, just a reminder, we're in this situation we're in right now because of the government. They ignored for the last 50 years getting our fuel reserves up to 90 days. And in the last 25 years, they've shut down 6 of our 8 remaining refineries. But hey, look, I'm just one person with some thoughts and opinions. Leave your thoughts and opinions down below in the comments. Now, I'm willing to concede that some rationing can occur, that some reduction can occur. I do not want a COVID-style lockdown again. I never want that to happen again in my life. I understand this is a global issue and it's not completely in Australia's control. But what happens in Australia is in Australia's control. How we deal with it, how we react to it, that's in our control. And currently, I don't think the right things are happening in this country. But leave your thoughts down below. What are your thoughts on all this? Let me know and I'll see you in the next one.